Benny, welcome to the Orange County Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council SB 823 Subcommittee Meeting for Thursday, August the 5th, 2021. And my name is Steve Sentman. I am the chair of our subcommittee. We are doing some of this hybrid today, so I have a few folks here in person. Thank you for being here today, as well as we have several people virtually on the phone. With that in mind, we'll make sure that we do a roll call so that we know who we have here. So I will go first. Again, Steve Sentman is the chair. For Kim Doyle, we have Heidi Garrell. Did I say that correct, Heidi?
Heidi Garrell, yes, representing Kim Doyle and Todd Spitzer. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Heidi, thank you for being here. And from the public defender, representing Laura Jose, we have Darren Thompson.
Yes.
Thank you, Darren. We got you.
You're welcome.
Okay, Judge Motueke is not present at this time. Okay, and we have Raymond Sanchez, one of our community members.
Here.
Thank you, Raymond. And representing Don Smith from the healthcare agency, we have Alicia Lemire.
Yes, thank you.
Hello, Alicia, good to see you. And representing from community member virtually is Heather Benjamin.
Present.
Thank you. We also have Lynn Garrett, representing our education representative.
Present.
Thank you. We have Steve Kim, representing in person here as community member. Steve?
Present.
Thank you. Virtually, we have Nazlie Restrepo as a community member here, present.
Present.
Thank you, Nazlie. And Ken Santini from Social Service Agency.
Present.
Thank you, Ken. Okay, as we start today, we have item number two. I just wanted to make mention real quick that there were several attachments that were previously discussed in other meetings, the SB 823 profile of the youth we have, case plan document, as well as the programs that are currently provided for youth at DJJ. Those were previously discussed, but those were attachments. As we move forward into our plan, we will use pieces of that, but I just want to make note what those were for. On our next item is discussion of services and programs provided by the members and entities. And I just want to always make sure I make a reminder of what the subcommittee, for those if we have new folks on the call, understand what we are going to accomplish here in the next couple of months and some timelines for us. First of all, for SB 823, for the eligibility for the funding in section 1991, there are several items that have to occur by this subcommittee. First and foremost is the subcommittee composition, which we have done. I think we did that back in April. The next thing is to develop a plan for the realigned youth. And before I get to that, I want to welcome and thank Judge Motueke for being here. I got you. I see you there, Judge. Thank you for being here.
My apologies for being late. I meant to be in person, but I got delayed.
Okay. Well, we got you here, and thank you for being here today. So for the target population, we've continued to work on that, on a profile of the youth that we will be working forward with. The next section is the program and services section. Judge Motueke, I am in possession of a draft. If I'm going to give you some time if you'd like to discuss as you are working on that ad hoc committee in just a moment. The fourth part of the plan is the Juvenile Justice Realignment Block Grant Funds, how those will be used. Part five is the facility plan, how we intend to house the secured track youth. Part six is retaining the target population of juvenile justice system in lieu of transferring youth into the adult criminal justice system. Part seven is regional efforts. Currently, I did want to make the group aware that there is a statewide consortium being formed. And ultimately, what this consortium is intended to do is, if in fact we had a youth here in Orange County, if we could not provide a level of services that was identified that they would need a period of time here in the future, there will be a statewide consortium which will be able to assist us potentially. Maybe a youth needs to go to a different county for a period of time for a special service that we may not provide. Again, we're very fortunate in the County of Orange to have most of the services that are needed. We're just working on getting those identified. Lastly, and just as important as part eight, is the data collection and how important that is to make sure not only that we collect data on the youth that we are serving, but make sure that we identify what's working so we can replicate and do better when needed. And more importantly, too, with data often tells us where the finite resources we have, maybe we don't need to invest, or the population of youth do not require that service. And data can possibly help us do that so we can realign those services to a better need. Just for the subcommittee and for those that are on the call here today, it's intended that we do have a September meetings that will become, we'll have one more August meeting and then two in September, that we intend to have. Nasli, I know you had a question about the draft plan. It's intended in September to bring that draft copy to the subcommittee so that we can see all these different pieces that we're putting together on it and have that all-important discussion about how that plan would look. Then we also will need to work on the first part of the year of it for the budget for that plan. We'll need to present that plan to the Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council, is intended to do that for October. Then that plan would go to the Board of Supervisors, and all the Board of Supervisors needs to do is, it's for the most part, a receive and file for them so that they can understand that, we, the subcommittee, have completed the task for 823 to ensure the necessary funds do come to the County of Orange for the youth that we will be serving. And then ultimately that plan near the end of the year would be submitted to the OYCR, the Office of Youth and Community Restoration. I just recently saw that there was an announcement, a statewide announcement, so it looks like they're getting ready to find somebody to run the Office of Youth and Community Restoration. So that would be good. Eventually these plans will be making them. They'll have a day one, they'll have quite a task ahead of them as all these plans come from all the different counties across the state. So with that, Judge, I know you're on the call here. I didn't know if you wanted to give us a under the section here on the services and programs provided. I appreciate the information that you have shared so far here. It's pretty extensive and covering. If you wanted to go through that, or if there's more that you needed on the ad hoc committee that we could assist with, but I wanted to give some time to you, please.
Thank you, Chief. So our group has met twice. We have had very robust discussions about the part three of the template, and I know that most people on the subcommittee are probably visual and would like to see the draft of that. The hope was that our subcommittee would meet, our ad hoc would meet one more time, and the hope is to then present in a timely fashion, present it to the clerk of the board in order for the our subcommittee right now to have a discussion. I was shooting for August and the last meeting for our subcommittee in August to present the draft of that section of the template so that we have ample enough time to, I think the plan I think that you laid out today was to present it to the Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council in October.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay, yes. So my hope was that we would get the draft from the ad hoc as to part three of the template to the subcommittee group so that we can discuss it more thoroughly in the August meeting. And then that way we have plenty of other additional subcommittee meetings to finalize that in order to make the October presentation for the Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council, if that is agreeable to everybody. We, like I said, we've had really good input. I think it's in pretty good shape right now. I think there's just one more meeting needed to address some additional comments that were presented when the draft was pushed around to our ad hoc meeting, our ad hoc group.
Okay. Thank you, Judge. And I also appreciate you not only chairing and ensure this takes place, but when you look at this plan, all parts are so important, but that program and services are really what happens for the youth and what we can do for the youth to build that capacity in them so that they can be better prepared for their transition in the community. So thank you for that. Is there any comments from any committee members as it relates to what Judge Modake just spoke to? I see.
Just one comment.
Okay, go ahead. Is that you, Heather? Or did I miss it? Nasli. Oh, I'm Nasli. I'm sorry, Nasli. I just saw your square light. I got to get used to all this high-tech stuff here. Nasli, I see your hand up, and you're ready to go. Ms. Restrepo, go ahead.
just to clarify what's going to be presented or what you're trying to present is not only an assessment of what's the needs, like right, what's already happening, but also proposing the services that you're intending for this population, right?
Yes.
Exactly. Nasli, just so that everybody is more clear, we took part three, we took the phases that had been suggested and discussed at our initial subcommittee group meeting. We took those phases and we basically put in proposals for what those phases would look like, including existing services. So it's really like a supplement to the existing services. Sometimes we thought, you know what, the intake process needs to be a little bit better. So we wanted to revise that. So those kind of revisions to existing services and the way we process our youth who are coming in initially into the facilities, we wanted to kind of change up how that looks. So we took existing programs and services and morphed them a little bit if they needed to be. And then we put in additional services and programs that we felt were needed for this population.
Great. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the question, Nasli. And Judge, it's very important, is what you're talking about with the programs. We're so fortunate in this county, and I'm aware of many counties across the state that are starting from nothing. And we've had a level of services that has been provided for youth. And I think with this initial plan, it will be just that, an initial plan. And as we continue to revise that plan in the coming years, we'll be able to continue to enhance and improve and maybe identify gaps that we may have. I know one of the big ones is I'm aware of, I think we do a very good job within our facilities, but that transition plan is going to take some time to build. I'm well aware that our youth will not only need the services within our facilities, but how just as important that transition in the community, and the one being housing. So I've seen that a few times on here and how important that is. And we'll continue to have those conversations and possibly bring others into the conversation that can assist us with that. So thank you, Judge, for presenting on that. I also want to thank the judge and many others that attended a two-part tour down in our neighboring county to the south of us in San Diego, where we were able to tour pretty much what we intend to do here in Orange County. What might be by doing is looking at our current infrastructure and either rebuilding our current infrastructure to meet the needs or revising what we have, but more importantly, just a re-envision of our juvenile justice center. So I know Judge Motoike was with me, and there's been two different levels of tours, and I just thank everybody going down there, because not only is it a commitment to the county on what we intend to do, which the county in turn has given us that commitment, but those are all the people that have an investment in the youth we share, from our courts to our community-based organizations, to all of our county providers, and then ultimately the probation department. We all have a vested interest to do this to the best of our abilities. And sometimes we need to go down and see other folks how they're doing it and learn from them. So thank you, Judge, for going a couple of Tuesdays ago along with myself and others. I appreciate that.
Chief, can I just add that I think just for clarity purposes and just to remain within the confines of our subcommittee and the Brown Act, that we that it is clear that those tours were organized and coordinated through our Juvenile Justice Services Committee that's separate and apart from this subcommittee, just so that everybody's aware that that was coordinated through a different committee that operates through juvenile court.
Okay. Thank you, Judge, and appreciate that clarification. Appreciate that. Okay, any further from the committee on item number two on discussion of services and or programs provided from members and entities? I'm trying to look here who's in person with me, and let me see if there's any hands that pop up on the screens. So I got the virtual thing almost wired, and now we're gonna go in person and virtually, so we have to keep a head on a swivel here to get this done. So, okay, very good. At this time, are there any public comments?
If anybody that is called in, if you wish to speak on item two, if you could hit *9 on your phone or the hand raise icon on Zoom. And we do not have any requests.
Okay, thank you, Jamie. Appreciate that. Moving on to item number three, discussion of any subcommittee member group reports. At this time, I will ask on the committee if there's we did have Judge Motoike speak on a subcommittee group that's working on an ad hoc for our programs and services. Is there anybody else that would like to have any comments or discussion related to that topic, those topics?
Steve, this is Daniel.
Yes.
I don't know if this is the appropriate time, but I wanted to know if we wanted to discuss the facility plan item on the template, because I think that's something that we could discuss verbally now and then maybe present it in written form on the 19th. Or is that not fit in the agenda today?
You know what, Daniel, I'm fine with that. If the rest of the committee is okay with that, we do have Chief Deputy Daniel Hernandez in person here with us. And section, let me just find the section here real quick so we know what we're referring to, is part 5 of the plan is the facility plan. So, Daniel, I'll turn it over to you for some brief comments.
Sure. So,
Daniel. Chief Stedman, can I just interrupt for just one second?
Yeah.
Just to go back really quickly on the ad hoc subcommittee, Daniel raised a good point in our discussions. We, phase 3 of the template that you had produced discusses a proposal for housing. And I'm just throwing it out to our subcommittee. If there's anybody that might be able to provide additional information or proposals for us in getting this part 3 done, it would be great if they could maybe join our ad hoc to discuss any possible housing programs and services. So that would be helpful to our discussion on the ad hoc.
And Judge, I've given Daniel Hernandez yesterday from the Juvenile Justice Commission, an individual made outreach to me in talking about housing. So we have somebody, and you're very well aware of who that is. So I'll give that information to Daniel and see if they can work with your ad hoc committee on that.
Thank you.
Okay, back to you, Daniel.
So regarding the facility plan or facility use plan for the 823 population, we were surveyed by the Board of State and Community Corrections to present our proposed facility location for this population, and in doing so, got some feedback from our BSCC rep as to what was actually being solicited and what is required as far as identifying the physical location for 823 youth, and which I think then fits obviously into this item number 5 in the template. And so, what the feedback I received was all they're looking for is a identification of a facility and a rough number of beds that are going to be identified or allocated. However, that number is not set in stone. We won't be held to that number. They're just looking to kind of conceptualize what it is we're looking at as far as housing this population. And so with that kind of broad latitude we're being given in describing the physical location, what we're planning to do or proposing to do as far as housing the population is making all 3 of our facilities available to the population, as 823 allows for the juvenile court to order secure track youth to less restrictive options, which could then include our other commitment facilities, camp facilities, or even community centers, transitional housing in the community, those kinds of things. And so our plan is to make a juvenile hall, first of all, available for secure track youth, likely at intake and during the initial phases of their commitments or post-disposition. And we're also proposing that their needs dictate the actual physical location of where they'll be housed within the facility. So it says we have the luxury in our juvenile hall of having a variety of specialized functions to meet youth specific needs. So for example, if a youth's mental health needs are their driving factor, then we wouldn't want to pull them out of mental health focused services simply because they're a secure track youth and house them somewhere else with other secure track youth. So what we're proposing is that their overall driving needs come first and that their secure track designation follow them wherever they are. So they will be identified as secure track youth and be provided with whatever programs and services come out of the 823 subcommittee and JJCC, but their physical location will not be dictated by that. And also, when we talk about gender, we also, while we do have units that cater to gender-specific services, We are also compliant with regulation, which is very flexible and fluid depending on gender identity. So I'm not going to say there's a female unit and a male unit. We house appropriately based on gender identification. But based on those needs, for example, because it has been discussed, what if we do have a female youth or a small population of female youth? They can be housed in an appropriate unit and still receive the 823 programs and services. Similarly, youth housed for sexual offenses could be housed appropriately based for those programs and services, in addition to receiving Secure Track programs and services. And then further down the road, if any 823 youth were ordered to one of our other facilities, we're going to designate and make available beds at both the Youth Leadership Academy and the Youth Guidance Center for Secure Track youth. So I can put that in writing, and we can put that in the template for the August 19th meeting. But just to verbally share, that is what we're how we have conceptualized how we would handle housing for 823 youth. Now, while the statute eliminated the need for age separation, again, we have the luxury of having multiple units that we can utilize, and so we are going to be housing older male youth with their like peers as best as possible, even though we don't have to, simply to better cater to their needs and stage in life and programs they might be participating in that might be different from younger youth. And also a lot of our older youth who especially those that we currently have who have been with us for extended periods of time, and those in the future who will be with us for potentially extended periods of time, they tend to do much better. They tend to make a lot more progress over time, and it helps those youth who are at similar stages of success help each other and not then be challenged by youth who might be at a different stage of success. So also these older youth may also be participating in college classes and maybe doing job training, things like that, whereas younger youth might still be attending high school and maybe have different goals in mind. So we're able to separate by age. We are separating the older youth or housing the older youth together, but we don't have to. It's simply to try to keep like needs together.
Okay, thank you, Daniel. Let me see if there's other committee comments, but I wanted to add something quickly and appreciate. I think the key thing, the flexibility is so important, and the ability for us to move youth to meet their needs. Now when we have a proposed a re-envision of our juvenile campus, we would be able to implement that as needed as it comes along, identify what we have now, but what we would have to the future. And I think it is so important to be aware of that, you know, we have a general population of these youth that meet about the same age and same demographics, but focusing on their needs is so key, and to build that success. I like how you use that word. We'll have to put that in there. But building upon that success for the youth is key. So is there other questions from the committee members here that are present? And then I'll go to the ones that are virtual. Okay, good. Steve, again. How about on our virtual call? Is there any questions from the committee related to it? Daniel, we'll have a visual presentation of that on our August 19th meeting. So, okay. Now I will ask at this point, are there any public comments related to item number 3, Jamie?
Yeah, if anybody from the public that has called in, and by the way, there are no public here at in person, so just so everybody is aware. Hit *9 on your phone or the hand raise icon on the Zoom app. No requests.
No comments. Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate that. All right. Well, moving right into the next section is the public and or subcommittee comments. So I will ask again, are there any public comments?
If any general public comments, hit *9 or the hand raise icon. Request.
Okay. And are there any general committee comments? I'll look here for those folks that are with me in person. Good. Okay. And how about virtually on our call? Heather, I just saw you raise your hand officially.
Yes.
And unmute yourself. Go ahead, Heather.
Is there a template of the plan that you're referring to that can be sent to me? I know I'm late to the game, so I need to do some catching up. So if there is something in writing that has a breakdown of the parts, if I could get that sent to me and I'll get up to speed.
Yeah, Heather, it's been attached. Actually, I know you. This is your first meeting officially, but it has been attached to other agendas, but I will send it to you separately.
All right, Heather, we'll get that to you, okay? All right. Okay, I just, as a committee, before we adjourn and make the date for the next meeting and adjourn, just again to thank the committee. It's a daunting task in the beginning, but what I've been assured from all of everybody on this committee, just appreciate, is we're very, very fortunate in this county to have not only great collaborations within the county as well as our community partners, but I think we're well on the right track to build that initial plan for the youth that we'll be serving into the future and get a good solid foundation as we move forward. And just key for the county as the county's initiative for OC Cares, this fits in greatly into the pillars, many of the pillars, but fits into the pillars. And we've been very fortunate to not only have our support from our courts, but support from our county with the ongoing discussions and how important it is to invest in juvenile. I'm still a firm believer in my many years in this business. For every thing we can invest in youth, that's more likely one less adult that will be in the system, and that really should be our driver and our focus. So once again, the committee, and any other comments in person, we were good. Anybody else on the line, on the phone? Okay. So our next meeting is August 19th, 2021. We will have it in person as well as virtually. We will be at our grand, the probation grand office, and Jamie will send that information out to you. And again, just appreciate all of you and the work that's being done. And I look forward to our next meeting. Take care. And Heather, we'll get that information sent to you, okay? Okay, thank you, everybody. Meeting adjourned.